This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this Holy Trinity Sunday is according to St. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, 17. You're invited to be seated. A blessed Holy Trinity Sunday to you. Today we rejoice that God is not only revealed to us as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, but that we rejoice in what this very specific God has done for you. We begin with the Gospel reading. From it is a verse that has become so famous, it is pretty much the go-to verse quoted by Christians, and that's okay. It is also referred to as the gospel in one verse. Of course, you know it, and why don't we just say it together? Let's get it out of the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There, we got it out. We all love that verse because it points to many, many things in one thing. If the last 4 weeks of the gospel reading have shown nothing else, they have shown us that God, the Holy Spirit, is who works faith in unbelievers. Literally, that people would believe in Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit. There is no amount of cleverness we have. We are not smart enough to convince the old Adam of anything because he's more bullheaded than you might think. He's more bullheaded. You know that really bullheaded person we all know? He's more bullheaded than that person. You're going, I don't know. I know some pretty bullheaded people. But I will tell you, the old Adam says, nope, nope, nope. And we're like, come on, look at this archaeological finding. Nope. Come on, what about how nice Christians are? Nope. And then you do something so vile to the Holy Spirit, and you run and quote Jesus. You say, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the old Adam goes, ugh. And the new man is going, yup. Woo! Of course, the question will become, this is the old Adam, believes in what? Oh, thank goodness. We see in the Bible that people generally get excited about Jesus, especially when they thought he was some sort of social reformer or political activist, right? Some thought he was a prophet. That was pretty exciting, but none of those are the believe in him confessions that we're talking about. None of those are the Holy Spirit given faith. Those are the, this is what we saw. So what is the faith? It is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Trusting in that. Our text for today. How about Nicodemus? He's pretty clever. The ruler of the Jews came to Jesus by night. He called Jesus, and he really gave him it's real kind of you. You are a prophet indeed. Perhaps looked for some esoteric teaching, a secret key of divine wisdom and eternal life. I don't know. But he's like, yeah, you're some kind of prophet. But what did Jesus say? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who is not born again cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he's going, hey, Nicodemus, you know why you're missing the boat? Why you're just trying to give me a compliment and not confessing? Because you don't see. You do not see. You're blind. Nicodemus, like all the Pharisees, pushed a very hard doctrine that there being faithful doers of the law, that they would be saved. And don't forget the added laws that the Pharisees brought in, those two. His view is shared by millions of mistaken people even to this day. To be worthy of heaven on their own merits is the goal of every single modern Pharisee. I will tell you what, my favorite one, and it begins this way. Hey, where were you at church? Oh, don't worry. I was at home reading my Bible. Oh, you were doing? Were you doing? Good job. It breaks down to all sufficiency and pride completely. It insists on a complete change in the condition of man, a complete transformation of everything, including the heart, the mind, and the will of a person. It should also be evident in the new way of life so that a person in his thought, will, feelings, words, and yes, deeds is not the old Adam trying to drive the bus, but is actually the new man, the new creation. And without that regeneration, no one can enter the kingdom of God. You would have a better time building a sandcastle out of sun-bleached sand. Perhaps Nicodemus understood Jesus was talking about a spiritual transformation, but realized that such a thing was impossible by human effort. Jesus might as well have been talking about physical rebirth as far as that goes. There's a lot of people that thought Nicodemus was being a little sarcastic or was playing dumb. But then Jesus says to him, just in case we don't have to guess on it, he just clears up what he wanted to say to him. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. To be born again or anew is to be born of the Spirit, to receive from him a new heart, a new spirit, and a new will. Your old Adams will not do." To achieve this goal, God uses the wonderful sacrament of holy baptism. He uses that as one of his, what we call his visible means of grace, ways that God imparts things on you that you could not achieve yourself. And he does it in the most try not to get tackled by my elders. In the most ho-hum kind of way. Well, water? What about star sparkles? No. Because God's going, "I invented water, and it's awesome." Did you invent water? No. Then quit downplaying it. It's amazing. Go a week without it. See how you feel. Get back to me. So he uses something that every human, whether they believe in Jesus or not, knows, "I can't live without this." And then as the old Adam knows this, then the new man in Christ says, "But the Spirit that is with the water and the Word of God is what has given me the true life." The sacrament really works. It really gives new life. It really transforms from the old Adam to the new man in Christ. It really does bring the Holy Spirit with it. It really is the reason we have faith, and where there's faith, there's life. One that has been baptized is a participant of the grace of God who enters the kingdom of heaven, the one invisible church which is equal to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, the one where God does all good things. The kingdom of heaven comes when God thwarts every plan and scheme of the devil and brings the church into himself. But, so I don't get too far ahead of ourselves, there's a lot of this that we don't understand in full. It's a mystery. As they say in Greek, a mysterion. As they say in Latin, a sacramentum. Or as we say in English, a sacrament. It's mysterious. Jesus I don't want to be sarcastic on this. Jesus doesn't check in with me on how he does things. He says it. I believe it. Does that mean that I always understand how everything he does? No, because he doesn't call me to do that. By the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I know you think it's weird, but it's true. And the new man in Christ says, it is true. He really does wash me. I really am regenerate. I really do have hope. The Holy Spirit really is in me. When I pray, God really does hear me. We don't always understand this. As Jesus says, the wind blows independently of human will. No one can govern the course of the wind. Good luck trying. And just so it is with the work of the Spirit of God, the regeneration process cannot be understood by application of reason and senses, for it is a mystery of God. But the matter of regeneration is so often spoken of in the Psalms and in the visions of the prophets that a teacher of the people should have been familiar with this doctrine. Nicodemus should have known, should have been ready to hear this confession of the washing of regeneration. Jesus also spoke of his work as the Savior of the world. No ordinary human has lived in heaven and acquired a knowledge of heavenly things. Only one has lived there and is able to communicate the true knowledge of God and all things divine. The Son of God, and in his great work of atonement, came down from heaven to bear witness to heavenly things, and he is fully qualified because he still remains in heaven. He was in what we would call the closet, the most intimate connection with the other two persons of the Trinity. We did not see him, even though while his human body was walking the earth in weakness and in humility, Christ here says expressly that he was in heaven from the beginning, otherwise he would not have come humbling himself to give testimony of heavenly things. Now he is still there. Also, he is human nature as the Son of Man. So, also, the Athanasian Creed also states, it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one also believe faithfully in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't make it up as you go. The Scriptures have to be the way that we understand it. It is therefore the true faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, is God and man. He is God begotten of the abundance of the Father before all ages, and man of substance of his mother born in time. He is not Hercules. He is both fully and truly human and God. Perfect God, perfect man, subsisting of a rational soul and a human flesh, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, inferior to the Father as according to his humanity. But even if he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One not by the conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God, one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by the unity of person. Just so you know, some of you have asked me about this. When you see me pray, you often see me do this. This comes from the Athanasian Creed. It's very ancient. The Hindus don't get to have it. This shows the nature of the Holy Trinity. And this here is the two natures of Christ. And you'll notice the shape that they're in. Stop trying to separate them. And so when we pray, it's called the Orans. And it tells us that as I pray, I confess the Trinity and unity and the two natures of Christ. So Jesus says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son will reveal him, in Matthew 11:27. It was not enough that Nicodemus created in Jesus as a prophet or teacher. For us too, it is necessary that the Holy Spirit will open our understanding and to work in us true faith in Jesus Christ, as St. Paul says. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Do you see how our world is? Other religions are always trying to make Christianity get on board with the home team. And I say the home team because the world is not our home. We are not the home team. The world is the home team. And they always say, and you'll notice, this is really interesting. I've had these conversations. Muslims, what do they say about Jesus? Well, he's not God, obviously. They say, but he's a prophet. They say that. And the Hindus will say, he's not the God, but he's a God. Do you see how that watered down confession is? A spiritless confession saying something that this is what I can wrap my old Adam's mind around, and that'll have to be good enough. And Jesus even says to Nicodemus, no, it's not good enough. That will not do. But only the truth, and you notice he keeps saying, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, this is the only truth. And so as you sit here today, hearing the word of God and believing it, not here today because we have a fireworks show or something that is very explosive to the eyes or to the ears or to the senses, but you sit here today because you say this Jesus, that Jesus himself confessed, is real. I am one of those people who has been born again. I do have the Holy Spirit. I trust in all of this stuff that is being taught, and I believe that God is present, that he does so mysteriously, sacramentally, in his means of grace, that I am a created, new creation who has the hope of salvation when my time comes to an end, or when Jesus brings time to an end. I have this hope. And my hope is, as we read in the Old Testament, did you see the level? Did you see the level of commitment? I gotta stop laughing about it because it's so bizarre. When we look here, and he says, in the year King Uzziah died, God likes to mark things by when people who thought they were a big deal died. And Isaiah sees this seraphim coming out, and it has six wings covering his face, and it's flying around, and it's screaming, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations and the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And what does he say? Hi. No. He says, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched it to my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. You don't need a seraphim flying around anymore. You need to know that the Word of God is present. Where the Word of God is purely preached, where the sacraments are rightly administered, you have something bigger and better than a seraphim. You have Jesus Christ himself. And like I said, it all begins in the waters of holy baptism. As in the baptism of Jesus, all persons of the Trinity will remember they were present and active in your baptism too. So we baptize by the command of Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and are baptized into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And by the word of God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, I pray that your new man in Christ leads you this way by the Holy Spirit, giving you the most remarkable reason to say, "This is the day the Lord has made." Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of the Athanasian Creed, found on page 319. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. For the Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit Almighty. And yet there are not three Almighties, but one Almighty. So the Father is the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And these who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. You're invited to be seated as we gather the tithes and the offerings of the church. Heavenly Father, out of your grace and mercy you have given to us, and today we return a portion to you. Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Father, from you comes all that is, and we are forever indebted to your grace for the gift of life. Receive this day our special thanks for the redemption you have provided in Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to know you by faith and to be adopted as your children by baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you have revealed yourself to us in Christ, and we may know you by faith and confess you before the world. Give us your Spirit that all churches may confess truly and faithfully your word and live in harmony of doctrine and life in anticipation of that day when we shall kneel together at your altar. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you have established marriage and sanctified the home to be a place of blessing and love. Give to parent and child the courage to love as you have loved us. Unite them in their common life by your Spirit to know Jesus and serve him. Bless the single with chastity and comfort the widow. Protect the orphan and defend the helpless. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you guard your world as your own possession and have established governments and leaders to serve your purpose. Bless our president, our governor, and all elected and appointed officials, that in their stewardship of the nation and state, they may be faithful and serve honorably for the benefit of their people. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you have suffered fully the cost of love through your Son. Give healing and peace to all afflicted, the grieving and the dying. Give them all that is needful that they may endure their illness, confident of your presence. Supply them with grace sufficient for their every need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we poor sinners confess that in our flesh dwells no good thing. If we are left to ourselves, we will die in sin, since that which is born of flesh is flesh and cannot see the kingdom of God. Grant us, we implore you, your grace and mercy, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to regenerate us, that we may firmly believe the forgiveness of sins according to your promise in baptism, and daily increase in Christian love and good works, until at last we obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue now as we sing the offertory. mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. After he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup. After they had supper, he gave thanks, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." As long as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Take and eat the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ given for you. True body of Christ. This is the true body of Christ. Receive the true body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The blood of Christ shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The true blood of Christ. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. This precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. The body of Christ. Receive the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Receive the body of Christ.
Thank you.
Please rise as we sing the post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and